Love it. Love having the men in the house.
Okay. Well, welcome. Lisa Nichols is in the house. And for all of you that don't know Lisa, she is, I said earlier, she's one of the most amazing women on the planet. She's one of my best friends. We met about 25 years ago, and we've been collaborating ever since. And Lisa, our last teaching call was all about raising our vibration. And so I was saying to the group that there's nothing better than having Lisa Nichols come on to even plus that vibration on steroids. And I said, the good news is Lisa's coming. The other news is she's on CBS right now, but she'll be here as soon as she can. So we appreciate that we got Lisa just moved to the East Coast side. And you can say what's new for you, Lisa.
Yeah, I just moved to the Bahamas. So that's my front yard, actually. And so I apologize when people say 10 a.m., I still think 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So Patty said 10 a.m. and I thought 10 a.m., but it was really 1 p.m. And so it was me. And so I was on with CBS. A lot of corporations have me coming in, helping them have courageous cultural conversations across cultural lines that leaves everyone's dignity intact so that we can find a way together to walk and navigate through this season and be whole and complete. So I was doing that for CBS so that they can support the journey. So it was my dilemma of moving in. And then I just got engaged. So I've been on a whole nother cloud. Like I'm just kind of, you know, staring and gawking at my new fiance. So I still got to come back and go work, be functional. Okay. So thank you guys for having me. Thank you for your patience. My goal is to bring great value to you in the time that we have together. Patty, thank you so much for always trusting me with your tribe, with the message. I'm excited to talk about the fact that no one can do you better than you. And amen. Who gave my amen? I got my first amen. No one can do you better than you. And if you don't do you, you will never be done. Like that's the other stake in the ground, is that no one can do you better than you. But if you don't do you, and if you don't do all of you, you will never be done. And that the world needs you to do you more now than ever before, because you are a part of the healing that's coming forth. And abundance is your birthright. Abundance is not an option, Teresa, Lori, Margot, Jocelyn. Abundance, Paula, is your birthright, Brenda. Abundance, Teresa, is your birthright. But it's not going to come to you at your front door by Amazon Prime. It's also something that you have to go claim. So there's all these dichotomies that, hold on, no one can do me better than me, and if I don't do me, I won't be done. Abundance is for me, but it's not going to come to me. I have to go get it, right? Like there's all these things that live between awareness and action. Awareness and action. So it's not enough to just know it. It's not enough to agree with it. It's not enough to make it theory. It's not enough to study it. It's not enough to point to it. It's not enough to speak about it. It's something you have to own. You have to breathe it. You have to eat it. You have to drink it. When you sweat, the awareness has to come out your pores. like you have to sweat, right? Right, Teresa? Teresa, like, yeah, right? And how do you do that? What does that look like? Now, let me give you just a couple of highlights of what that looks like. One, write this down. That looks like, I'm gonna say it short and then I'm gonna give you the full. One, it looks like setting your temperature. So what that looks like, Dumisani. Did I say it right? Thumbs up, did I say it right? Dumisani, I got close, all right. What that looks like, Terry, is recognizing how you choose to believe, how you choose to think, and what you choose to believe, irregardless of the climate outside of you. I'm gonna explain this. Denise is nodding. She gets me. I'm gonna explain this a couple of ways. In these last 5 months, so much has been disrupted. Well, I'll ask the question, Vina. I'll ask the question, Anyo. How can you be disrupted? If you have your truth coming through the center of your crown, down through your body to the center of the earth, you might be blown a little bit, but you shouldn't be swayed. And if you have been swayed, then I'm going to say, let's find a deeper way to hold on to your belief system, because your belief system should not be determined by what's posted on social media. Your belief system should not be determined by how a debate goes or if we're on quarantine. Your belief system should be so solid. Now, and what that means is when you step into a room, you don't check the temperature to determine how you're going to think or what you're going to believe or how you're going to feel. You don't check the temperature, Bevan. You don't check the temperature. When you step into a room, Esteban, you actually set the temperature. Robert, that's the distinction, Mark, between being the thermometer or the thermostat. So ask yourself the question, lately, have I, Simon, have I been the thermometer? The thermometer means, if you have, and you can unconsciously slip into being the thermometer, no judgment. Then you start feeling all the, and I'm not saying you're without feeling if you're the thermostat, but with the feeling, you find that your power, your strength, your awareness, your certainty begins to wane, fade, get stronger, get weaker. It just becomes turbulent. Anyone have that feeling lately? Just honestly, raise your hand. Honestly, thank you for your honesty. I see your hands up. Keep your hands up. I'm scrolling through all five pages. I'm really an interactive learner. Thank you for your hands up. Thank you. I'm looking at all. Thank you. I see your hands up. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. So what happens is there's so much that has occurred that you start letting go of the thermostat and became the thermometer. And then we have a moment like this where we walk back to being the thermostat. So how do we walk back? Maria's like, yes, I need that, right? I need that. Can I tell you when the George Floyd thing happened and all of the first uproar, I literally got snatched into thermometer. I was like, rah, right? Like so many of us. But because I know the process, I knew I had gotten snatched out. I was like, oh, you're not the thermostat, you're the thermometer. So what did I do? I did something that upset a lot of people. I was quiet. And as an African-American woman, people thought that I should be like very vocal. No, I'm quiet because right now, the level of rage that I feel and the level of anger and hurt, it won't come out in a responsible way. And I am a thermostat. So by the time I open my mouth, I will speak responsibly. So I was willing to take the hit, primarily, honestly, from African Americans who felt like as a leader, my job is to leave people's dignity intact when I speak. And until I'm sure I'll do that, I will be the thermostat and navigate myself back to my center. Then I'll speak. Then you can't shut me up, but I'll do it responsibly, right? right? Lori's going to thumb up. So that's understanding that. In a conversation, being the thermostat is to begin a conversation with the end in mind and to navigate the conversation toward the end you already created. And that end should be a wholeness. We're in harmony. We're moving forward. And no matter where I go in this conversation, it has to have that end in mind. And so when you're talking about where we are, that's number one. Number two is to understand, what does safety look like for you when you're playing full out, when you're stepping into your greatness and standing in your greatness? What does safe space look like for you to grow? There's three things that creates a safe space. There's no judgment. And so often we can unconsciously slide into judgment. So you want to write this down, creating a safe space. And when you consciously create safe spaces, write that down, consciously create safe spaces for your students, for your family, for your environment, you will innately have more loyalty. You will have more leadership. You will have more longevity. Consciously create a safe space. Never having anyone assume they're safe with you. Woo, isn't that wild? We just think, no, you know me. No, every time you're with me, create a safe space. That's a gift. And then when you create a safe space for people in a space that doesn't feel safe right now, you become a sacred place. That's where longevity is. That's where loyalty is. That's where commitments are. Because you created a space where I can come in and I'm free of judgment. I'm free to do it all wrong before I do it all right, and you'll love me anyway. Say that, be that. And what I love about creating a safe space is that so oftentimes, and raise your hand if this is you, so oftentimes you are willing to show up for people more than what you show up for yourself. Come on, you guys, hands up. Keep your hands up. Don't drop them. I got 5 pages to scroll by. Patty got a large troop. I love it. I love it. Denise, I see your hands up. Roanne, I see you waving your hand. Yvonne, I see your hands up. Alexis, I see you. Simon, I see you saying, hey. Oh, okay, great. You can put your hands down. Yukiko, I see you, girl. All right, so when you create a safe space and you're more apt to do for other people more than you do for yourself, I want you to get in the habit, as the unicorns you are, as the change agents you are, as the gladiators you are, of consciously creating safe space for others. Because as you do it for them, your unconscious mind will keep saying, can we do that for ourselves? It's called cognitive dissonance. You may want to write that down. Cognitive dissonance is when you're doing something and your brain is saying, hold on, we need to do that. Hold on, you need to get better at that. And so I'm always playing with people who stretch me. I'm always being around things that I want to do, but I'm not doing, so that my brain can go, Lisa, it's time for you to do that. Cognitive dissonance is what you have to consciously keep yourself in, because it'll constantly keep you moving forward. Safe space are one of those. So there are 3 agreements in a safe space. First agreement is no judgment. The second agreement is unconditional. First agreement is no judgment. The second agreement is no repercussions. Reminding people that what's said here stays here. Now, I'll do no repercussions when I'm talking to 22,000 people at Bank of America. Like, I'll do safe space, no repercussions. If you're gonna be a part of this conversation, you must agree to these agreements. And I gotta tell you guys, in Fortune 500 companies, all of a sudden, the employees, the leaders, the vice presidents start sharing stuff and start talking about how they wanna grow, how they're afraid, in ways you've never seen before. If you wanna get more out of someone, you gotta give more to them. You wanna get some skin out, put some more skin in. Now, the last agreement is the agreement of unconditional love. No matter what comes out, no matter what comes up, and no matter what comes out, it's unconditional love. Being willing to love me through my ugly, love me through my smallness, love me through what I don't know. Reminding someone that there's nothing you can do that can stop me from. And for men, use the word respect first, then love, because they respond to respect. Not all men, this is not an absolute, but nothing you can do can make me stop respecting you. For a woman, nothing you can do can make me stop loving you. Oh, okay. The reason why Patty and I can go anywhere, and like we go anywhere, like I'm unfiltered with her, she's unfiltered with me, is because I'm a love you. I'm like, when all the social injustice happened, she texted me, she was sick, you know, sick, just sick emotionally and upset. And I told her, I said, I can't right now. My son was on the road for 20 hours driving to his new city, his new state. And I said, I can't be a thought leader right now. My African-American male child is driving 20 hours on the road across the country. I don't want to help anybody right now. I want to be a mama. I want to just help my son get to land safely. And then you guys can call me back later. And I felt good that I can say that. I knew Patty wouldn't. Patty, you remember that? That communication? And I knew she'd know it was okay. I said, right now, all my energy is consumed with getting my son across the country safely, because he's that person that's in danger right now. And so allowing yourself to be wherever you are undeniably. Holy, step into it. Now, here's the thing. Now, I gave you those 3 agreements. So now it's your job to create a safe space, to create a safe space for you and create a safe space for everyone you serve, so that you can stand boldly in who you are, unapologetically. But as you're doing that, it's discovering, what fingerprint do you want to leave on this planet? What fingerprint, Carmen, do you want to leave? Betty, what fingerprint, Gwen? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? Here lies a woman who? Here lies a man who? What did you do? What did you give us? How did you make us think differently? How did you serve us? How did you turn us upside down with compassion? How did you make How did you make unedited and non-negotiable? How did you make transparency sexy, popular? How did you do that? Begin with the end in mind in your own contribution. Because if you don't have some idea, you will begin to pick up the ideas of other people, Charlotte. Right? I see Marcy is nodding yes. Denise is nodding yes. If you aren't clear what you want to stand for, you'll start standing for what I stand for. You hear me? Because you haven't designed your own agenda yet. And until you design your own agenda, you're going to be playing on someone else's agenda. And your agenda can change. It can change over time, Veronica, Joe. It can change, Nick. It can change, Mark, Yolanda. It can change, Cassandra. It could change. But have something, Robert. And allow it to morph. You couldn't have told me 2 years ago, Simon, that I was going to be producing a movie. I produced a movie. It comes out in November. I can't believe it. But I had to do it because the social injustice climate needed something that can bring people together and get us talking. Black, white, Asian, Latina, man, woman. We needed something. And okay, now there's a movie that was born out of me. I have no idea how that happened. Short film. Still makes me nervous to think about it, right? And so you can change the plan, but make a plan. Make a soft plan. Write this down. Confusion is a strategy. Ooh, who did that just sting? Just kind of poke your hand up if I just, okay, I see the hands up. Okay, I see the hands up. Right, confusion is a strategy. Long-term confusion is an extended strategy because it lets you off for being in action. And being in action reduces, not being in action reduces, perceivingly reduces the risk of failure. I'll say it again. I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes, but you know I love you. Patty should have told you all about me. I come to serve the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I love you the whole time. That confusion is a strategy, long-term confusion is a strategy to keep you out of action. And staying out of action is a strategy to avoid failure. Now, none of these strategies work. All of them are a Pyrrhic victory, right? Type in chat if B-O-L, breakthrough out loud, B-O-L, breakthrough out loud, if you needed to hear that. And it's like, ouch. I need to hear that, right? B-O-L, B-O-L, just type in chat. Let me know, B-O-L, breakthrough out loud. I needed to hear it, right? I didn't know this. You know, you're analyzing, you got paralysis of the analysis, you're busy studying, you're busy collecting data, you're busy being the phenomenal student, but you're not busy producing results, right? You're busy being busy, being busy, being busy, being busy, being busy. You're so busy, you're not really taking any risk. Right? Come on, I understand. I know what that, and you can look like you're in movement. You can look like you're in movement because you're in more movement than the people that are around you in your family, your extended family, your friendship circles, because you're on this, you're here with Patty. So I know you're in exemplary movement. You're at the next level movement, but watch out, because this doesn't actually get you off the hook of leaving your fingerprint on this planet. This is preparation. This is data collection. You haven't leaped yet. You're simply sewing up your cape. Right now you're making your cape. You're sewing your cape. You're putting your cape around your neck. You haven't leaped to see if it works yet. Gwen's laughing at me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You haven't done it yet. Right? We get so excited. You know, I'm doing a program with Lisa Nichols. I'm doing a program with Patty. That don't mean anything. I want you to ask, and what you gonna do with what you learn in the program? Hmm? Whose lives are you gonna touch? What are you gonna do with knees knocking and teeth chattering? So when my students are on my campus, no, because I'm radical. So I'll tell all the white women that they have to partner with a man of color because that makes you scared. I tell all the black women they have to partner with a white man because that's the furthest line. So I always say we want to decrease the gap and create intimate proximity connections, right? And so you do the most growth when you do the work across the most lines. So it's not across a lot of lines for me to work with a woman. It's me working with a man of another color. Does that make sense, you guys? So you want to challenge yourself like that. You want to self-select and go, sign me up for the stuff that's scary, because then I have the most growth. Then my action means something to me. And then that contagious feeling of taking it on. I was in South Africa, and if you've ever seen me speak live, in the recent years, I do this thing called, I teach disruptive proximity. So when I'm teaching speakers, I teach 17, the science of speaking. And one of the techniques is called disruptive proximity. And some of my students are doing it now. But when I was in South Africa, I did it. The concept of disruptive proximity when you're speaking is to walk off the stage. I tell, don't everyone do this until you know you can do it, right? Because it is a, what I call an NBA move. So, you know, like the Lakers are in the finals now. This is a finals move. This is a LeBron James. This, don't do this in college ball. They do this in NBA. So it's when you walk off the stage, and Patty has seen me do this, and when you create a proximity to you and someone else, and everyone else witnesses proximity intimacy, because we're all deprived of intimacy, healthy, emotional, agape love intimacy. When you talk about next level love and service, you're willing to do that. I was in South Africa, and you know, apartheid ended in our lives, are not in our lifetime, right? So it's still very, very new, right? The separation and the prejudice and the racism. And I knew the impact that it could have or how bad it could go. I wasn't sure. It was last year. I was in South Africa and there were about 4,000 people in the audience. And I knew in order to really have impact of that audience, that was tons of blacks and whites, and that I had to do it right. So I walk up to a man who was about 6'9", white guy. He weighed about 270 pounds. So he was big, he was burly. And he was, as he stood up, very, very intimidating, right? If I came to him in a confrontational way. However, what I did was I had the gall to put my hand on the side of his face. And I said, the world doesn't want us to connect. They want us to find all the reasons why we're different. I get that. We do have differences. But your spirit says you want to make a difference. And my spirit says, I want to make a difference. And your spirit says that you can do good on this planet. And my spirit says that I can do good on this planet. So why don't we focus on our spirits and not our skin color? And the whole room was just bawling. And I said, I still have a lot to learn. And you probably still have a lot to learn. But what I know is that you can't learn about me without me. And I can't learn about you without you. So instead of having conversations about each other, why don't we have a conversation with one another? And the room erupted again. And so my next point to you is be courageous. Write that down. Be courageous. Step into the unknown. Because if you're willing to say what you've never said before, and if you're willing, Michelle, to do and what you've never done before, if you're willing, Esteban, to go to where you've never gone before, Robert, Mark, if you're willing to do what you've never done before, then you may see a part of yourself that you've always known yourself to see. This is that season. Your 2020, the rest of your 2020, and your 2021, and your 2022, it has to have moments where you blow your own mind. I still think about that guy. I still think about that man. I still think about him because I was so shocked that I had the courage to have that conversation with him. He brought something out of me that I didn't know that 2020 was happening when 2019 occurred. So now I'm hosting courageous cultural conversations. Why? Because if I did that, then I'm okay to do this. What part of your future have you been prepared for? you've been preparing for. You've been preparing for this. And it's your job to make sure that you are on the playing field, that you're not just on the sidelines, that you're not just a cheerleader, that you're not just reading the game book. See, a lot of us are reading the game book, but you're not playing the game book yet. Because you have to do something you've never done. You have to touch a part of you you've never touched. You have to go and play on the skinny branch. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You gotta go on the skinny branch. And right now, it feels like the stakes are high. If you go on the skinny branch and it breaks, if you go on the skinny branch and something happens, the stakes are high. But let me as your sister friend remind you, the stakes are higher if you don't play. Because you're forever left with your memories. I played it safe. I didn't stretch. I stayed in my comfort zone. I just got to the edge of my comfort zone. I'm not asking you to stay comfortable. I'm not even promising you will stay comfortable. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna almost guarantee, in order for you to get it right, in order for you to do it the best way you can do it, in order for you to be the most effective, in order for you to be the most proud of who you've been, you almost have to commit to being uncomfortable. You have to commit to the discomfort. You have to commit to the inconvenience. You have to commit to the disruption. You have to commit to the good trouble. You have to commit. Because everyone that we love, everyone that we admire, from Nelson Mandela to Mother Teresa to Mahatma Gandhi to Cesar Chavez to Martin Luther King, every single person that we look up and go, wow, they were so committed to the outcome that they were willing to sign up for the inconvenience. That right there. Don't sign up for the outcome. Don't sign up for the result. Everyone wants to look at the goals. Sign up for the inconvenience. Sign up for the disruption. Sign up for the sacrifice. Sign up for that. Because if you sign up for that, then you don't have to worry about stopping because you already signed up for all the stuff that will make you stop. Y'all get it? Hello. Who needed to hear that? Who came for that? Everyone's signing up for the goal and everyone's focused on the goal. So the disruption, the inconvenience and the cost, it shocks you because you didn't think it would cost you that much. You didn't think it would take you that long. You didn't think you would be that lonely. You didn't think the people would ridicule you that much. You didn't think you would have to invest that much money. You didn't think any of those things. Well, it's because you didn't sign up for that. So I'm gonna invite you to sign up for that. Hello. Sign up for that. Sign up for thinking that it's going to happen in 18 months, but then sign up for 5 years before it happens, right? It thinks I'm going to stand on stage and people are just going to come. Sign up for speaking by yourself in the mirror, in the bathroom, and being your own audience. Sign up for the one person showing up at your webinar. Sign up for all the inconvenience. Sign up for the judgment. Sign up for being afraid. Because if you can sign up for that, then that goal, that outcome is going to happen because you won't stop. I'm just saying. Patty.
It's funny. So Deanna said, was she listening to my question earlier? She was like, I set these goals and then I keep putting, and then they always take longer. Yep. You know, I was like, well, we either push them out or don't set them. But right. You're right. I mean, it does, everything takes longer than we think. But I just love the way, you know, and I wrote this down the last time when we were speaking at TLC and you said, you know, I didn't believe I was a good writer, but I chose to borrow your belief in me.
Yeah.
And sign up for discomfort. And yeah, that stuck with me because I don't think that we think about, you know, we used to think don't disrupt the class. And today being a disruptor is actually totally cool. It's like, oh my God, they're willing to live on the edge outside of that box, like in the unknown. And to know that, yeah, I'm going to have disruption and I'm going to have sacrifice and I'm going to be inconvenienced and it's going to be costly and it's going to take time and it's going to be freaking lonely.
It'll be messy.
But you know what? Yeah. And I'll never forget, I was working on the Aladdin Factor with Jack and he had to go do a People magazine shoot. And he left me there. I said, what am I going to do? He's like, you're going to finish it. I said, how do you know? He said, because I've done it so many times. I just know. So just know that you're going to get really tired and you're probably going to sleep on the floor for the next 8 hours and then you're going to wake up on the floor and you're going to keep going.
Yeah.
And so, but I think when we add in all those things that you said, then it's like, oh yeah, here it is. All right, gotcha. Check.
I'm on the right track. Matter of fact, it's an indicator. It's an indicator that you're on the right track. If you're not having breakdowns, you ain't playing big enough. And the bigger you play, the bigger your breakdowns. And if life is hunky-dory, it's because you're now complacent. I'm just telling you, the bigger you play, Gwen laughing, the bigger you play, the bigger your breakdowns. All my breakdowns now come with 6 or 7 figures and require an attorney. I'm like, what is going on? Right? And so, like, be okay with that. Be okay with that. Be okay with the full journey. Be okay with everything it's supposed to have. Be okay with all the texture. That understand that resiliency is not born out of spaciousness, grace, and joy. Resiliency is born out of getting exhausted. Right? Right. Patience isn't born out of everyone agreeing with you. Patience is born out of disagreeing and frustration. Like, so invite in the characteristic, but invite in what it requires as well. But you have to come from a place of knowing you'll be fine in that. I want to open up for questions because, you know, I love questions because then it lets me know what's important to you. Now here, let me just say this. You get to ask me about money. Because money is just dirty paper. Money is just a team member. Money is a tool. Money is an instrument that I use to create the memories that I want to have with my family. So it means nothing to me. So you can ask me anything about money. Losing money, making money, generating money, multiplying money. You can ask about relationship. I'm 54 years old, being married for the first time. You can ask me, what does it feel like to decide and to build my brand and to raise my son and to build this, you know, an empire to whatever degree that I built it as a woman, you know, as a single woman. What does that look like? How did I do it? How did I do it as a mom? My son, I heard him say on a webinar the other day that I was his best friend. I was like, I'm his best friend. I made it. But I was intentional about that. I wasn't surprised. Like, how did I design that? I was on the road 280 days out of the year. How did I create the experience with my son where he did not feel like he was a sidekick to my dream? So ask me questions. Ask me questions. Deep dive into it. However you want to do it. I see a couple of questions came in already. They're like, yeah, we're ready. Okay, Patty, help me. Where are the questions? Okay.
Okay.
Carmen, I love you, Carmen. I love you, Carmen. Carmen, you look much younger.
I know, I forgot to wear my Lisa Nichols. I hate to say that we're in close proximity to age because it makes me want to go see a surgeon. Okay. So, but here's the thing about Lisa. She eats well. She's always thinking positively and she doesn't drink alcohol. And those things are huge. And I'm glad because there's many times that she's trying to take me to my room.
Patty, it's time for me to take you to your room because you drank for you and you drank for me. But let me tell you why I honestly believe I didn't drink because I'm a party animal. I'm not a party animal. I'm a party animal. I'm dancing all night. I'm the one that would stand up on the table and I'll do it all sober. So who wants me to drink?
Not to mention her heels are all about 8 inches high, so it could get dangerous. Right. Okay, so Marla says, what made you decide to move to the Bahamas? That was a pretty bold move, actually. I mean, you know, Jelani's in Seattle and you're there, your parents are in LA, so.
Yeah, I'm very close to my family and my 91-year grandmother and I are best friends. I told my son 17 years ago, I told my son I was gonna move to White Sand Beach and clear waters because it just gives me tranquility. When I see large bodies of water, it reminds me that I'm a small part of a very big God's plan. And so don't sweat the small stuff and I'm not controlling anything. And so just chill. So water does that to me because I knew I was gonna move to an island. I just didn't know when or how or if I really could. I mean, it was like that dream. And then I fell in love and he lives on the island. And I was like, And so this was a big courageous thing for me to move away from my foundation and to give love a chance and to give Lisa a chance at just doing woman. Like, just do woman. And so, and what's funny, you guys, is that he's a newscaster here. He's a news anchor, so he's very popular. And so people will walk up to him. You know, we go anywhere in the world and people walk up and ask to take my picture at this time in my life. But when I'm with him, people walk up and they look at him and they look at me and they get their phone and they give their phone to me and say, can you take a picture of me and I? I'm his sidekick chick, so I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. So I moved to the Bahamas to give love a chance.
I love that. Welcome to my world, Lisa. I don't know. I can tell you how many pictures I've taken over the years.
Right.
Okay. Margot says, how did you start when you first started in this business?
I started. So let me just say this, Margot, and this is to anyone who, you know how we all say, I want to make a difference. I want to inspire people. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Do you want to just inspire people and make a difference? Or do you want to be popular? Do you want to be wealthy? Do you want to be have so many followers? Because if that's the undercurrent desire, then that's going to drive you too. If you just want to inspire people, then start inspiring people. Be responsible as a CEO. Like excuse the expression, but I'm a bad A CEO. I'm a CEO all day long. But just inspire people. Just make that the primary thing. I see people saying that, but the tongue in your mouth and the tongue in your shoe are going in two totally different directions. You say you just want to inspire people, but you're upset because you don't have a lot of followers. Okay, what's the priority? You want to inspire people or you want to be popular? Because if two people came, then inspire those two people. So, Margo, I started by going to alcohol and drug recovery institutions because they have groups every day. And no one was in those groups. It was just counselors. And the counselors were bogged down with reports. And I would go to the drug and alcohol recovery place every day and speak to at least three groups because then people were fighting for their lives. Then I went to women battered shelters, Margo. And I spoke in women's battered shelters for 3 years. And it would be dark and dingy. And I remember this one. Let me tell you why I still do what I do. I still do what I do to this day with all my accolades, with all the stuff that I've done, why I do what I do is because of two reasons. I was at an ATM in Los Angeles, and I used to speak at, but let me just say this. I used to speak at this women's battered shelter, and this woman would have her two children really close to her, and she'd have her head down. And I never saw this woman's face because she was so broken. She was so broken, Sherry, she would never look up. And so I just saw the top of her head and her two children. And she would never let them go, you know, because she was protecting her babies. I was at an ATM 3 years after I stopped speaking at this women's battered shelter. And I turned around and this woman just started screaming. And I was like, what? She goes, you're the lady. I said, what do you mean? You're the lady that came. I said, the lady that came where? She goes, at the battered shelter. She said, you don't remember me because I would always have my head down. She said, remember this? And I said, yes. She said, I was that woman. She said, I couldn't look at you, but I remembered every word. She said, and I just want to tell you that because of your words, I got me and my children out of danger. We live in a new city. I have a new job. And I'm living. And I never knew if I'd see you again to say thank you. It's been 20 years and I still cry when I tell And so that woman. And then the second place was I spoke at a cocaine recovery institution for lesbian women. So it was lesbian women in recovery of cocaine. And I came that day and I spoke. And 2 weeks later, the owner called and asked me to come speak at graduation. I went to this woman's graduation, and when I stood up to speak, the woman who was graduating said, may I tell you why I asked you to speak at my graduation? I said, sure. She said, the day you came to speak to us, I had already planned two things. I had planned my escape, and I had planned my suicide. She said, and that day you gave me something to live for. And so I just wanted you to speak at my graduation. You guys, that's been over, I don't even know if my son was born. No, my son wasn't born. So it's been over 26 years. I still remember both of those situations in vivid detail. And they're still the two most prevalent reasons why I do what I do. Beyond Oprah, beyond Larry King, beyond Steve Harvey, beyond Dr. Phil, beyond The Secret, beyond yada yada chicken soup, beyond all that, those two women are the reason why I still do what I do, because I want to find them. So now I look for the opportunity. I'm looking for her here and each one of you. I'm looking for the person here that I came to speak life into your soul, life into your essence. And because some little something I say, you go, okay, I'm ready. Let's go at it again. I'm looking for you. It doesn't have to be everyone. And that's another thing I want to remind you. Don't try to grab everyone. Try to grab your someone.
Good. That's important. Thanks, Lisa. So there's so many questions, so I'm going to be mindful of your time. So Sherry says, when you blew up and you started to experience such enormous success, what was that hard for you to not self-sabotage yourself or fall back?
So when I blew up, I like that word because it felt like an explosion. When I did Chicken Soup, and I want to answer Sherry's question, and then I want to make sure that I answer Audrey's question as well, because I like that question. How did I do it with my son? Mm-hmm. Chicken Soup was one level of growth, and then The Secret, you know, was the tsunami. And I stood out in The Secret for, I think, a couple of reasons. One, I was one of the few women in The Secret. Obviously just as a woman of color, but I don't think that was it. But I do think that had a lot to do with it, because every person of color in the world felt like they saw themselves when they saw me. And so it brought this whole energy as well. But also in The Secret, I spoke very lay. Notice that I speak very lay. I speak very lay, I keep it at a very basic conversation. I can go out and pull all of what my grandmother calls my $15 words, but I'd rather not, because I'd rather make it really difficult for anyone to shape this conversation. So I don't use a lot of theoretical words. And because I did that in The Secret, there were thousands of people who knew about the law of attraction, but there were millions and millions who were being introduced to it. And I was their entree because I spoke such lay. Like, think of me and Bob Proctor at two opposite ends, right? We're saying the same thing, we just get to it two different ways. So I'm gonna invite you in the conversation. He's gonna assume you know about the conversation already. Does that make sense, you guys? And so I said, while there are thousands of people on the freeway, there were millions of people on the on-ramp, right? And they all came to me. And so I was bombarded. And I did slip into self-sabotage because I didn't know if I was good enough. How many of you guys fight with the am I good enough conversation, right? So keep your hand up. So here's what I want to invite you. I want you to see me and look in my eyes and hear me say, trust me, if you stay in action long enough, you will outperform that conversation. But you will only do it if you stay in action. I'm blown away that I don't have the conversation in my head anymore. But the only thing I did was stay in action, even with knees knocking and teeth chattering. So Sherry, yes, I was scared. I'm in a project with Jack, and I'm in a project with Bob, and I don't have a degree. I don't have a PhD degree. I don't have the basic degree. So I kept thinking I was underdegreed. I was underqualified. I'm this woman from South Central LA who all I had was a hustle muscle. Like, that's what I had was a hustle muscle. But I didn't think that was enough. And then when we were on Oprah and she stood up and said, the experts are here. I'll never forget when she did that. I was like, oh, I gotta be an expert? I didn't know what being an expert meant. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't want to be an expert. You know, and then when I was on Larry King, we were on Larry King. I don't know if you remember this, but on Larry King had to oppose us. We were on several times, but he had to oppose The Secret to make it fair to the public. He had to speak on behalf of the people who didn't believe in The Secret. Anyway, it was a lot of tension, and he had to really kind of attack each of us, each guest. That was his job, and he told us he was going to have to do it. I remember watching, who went before me? I think it was John Assaraf, or it was Joe Vitale. I remember watching Larry King mutilate them, and I came on next. And let me tell you what I did, Sherry. And I invite each one of you to do this. And this will sound a little spiritual woo-woo, but whatever, get over it. My spiritual teacher told me 5 years before, she said, the way you'll always win whenever you feel like you're confronted is if you're able to die to yourself. I didn't understand what that meant. I put it in my pocket. For 5 years, I didn't understand what it meant. I'm on Larry King, and Larry King has a caller call in, and the caller says, Lisa, if the secret says what that you create your own future, if a child has cancer, you're saying she created that herself. It was a very sticky question. And in that moment, my response was, ma'am, I don't know why we get cancer. I don't have that answer. I wish cancer would disappear. But what I do know is that every time we go through something, we have a chance to become stronger. But I don't know why we have cancer. My spiritual teacher called me afterwards and said, you just learned how to die to self. So I'm gonna say that, Sherry, to tell you, when you find that you wanna self-sabotage, surrender. Surrender to what you don't know. Surrender to what you want to get. Just surrender to it instead of resisting it. Because when you resist it, that's when you start swirling in the self-sabotage. Because energy grows where energy goes. You're just giving it more energy. When I did that on Larry King, he had nothing else to kind of refute because there was no fight in the space. There was no right wrong in the space. I wasn't trying to convince her. I wasn't trying to, there was nothing. And quite honestly, Patty, I don't know if you remember that, I had the smoothest experience on Larry King that day because I didn't try to resist. I didn't try to compare. I didn't try to make right. And that day my spiritual mentor said, that's what it feels like to die to self. So if you're in a situation when you're nervous or you're scared or it's growing so fast, say, when I was asked to be on Dr. Phil, I was nervous. When I was asked to be Steve Harvey's coach, I was nervous. Each time I said, okay, Lisa, you're playing bigger than you've ever played before. You only know what you know. And whatever else you need to learn, let's learn it. And I gave myself permission to not be further than I was. And I gave myself permission to be 100% enough where I was. That was critical. That was critical.
I love that. So let's talk about this next, that's beautifully put, Lisa. Let's talk about Jelani and how you handled it as a single mom, you know, and I mean, I know what it was like in my house. How'd you do it?
So you know me, I'm a radical mom. So I said, number one, I made the agreement to myself that I did not have to choose my family or my career, because that's living a scarcity mindset. That the God we serve, the divine mother, father, God, whatever you call it, is not a God of having to choose either or. It's an abundant God. Abundance is your birthright. Abundance is your birthright. Everything about what's available to you has abundance in it. We don't live in an either or world. We live in an and with world. And the conversation that abundance is for those people over there is a myth. So number one, I stop having the conversation, oh, it's going to be either my dream or my child. No, how do I have them both coexist? So I created a strategy so that they both coexist. Number one, I begin to share more of my dream with my son. Give your family the gift of your dream. Even, watch out here, I need you to hear this. Give your family the gift of your dream even if they don't see it with you. So please don't give your family your dream with the agenda that you need them to be the champion for you or the cheerleader for you. So please give them the gift of your dream without hooking them to the responsibility that they have to be your number one fan. They have to read your book first. They have to be the first one to register for your webinar. They have to understand what the heck you're saying when you're talking that talk. Give them the gift of your dream, but also give them the gift of freedom. Number two, don't expect anyone else to see your vision. while you're still getting clear on it yourself. B-O-L, somebody type in B-O-L. I see Laura. Laura's like, oh, B-O-L, right? Don't expect anyone else to get clear on your vision or to hold your vision clearly if you're still getting clear on it yourself. And remember, somebody came for this. Someone came for this statement. If no one else gets your vision, it's because, if no one else gets your vision, it's because God didn't give your vision to them. God gave your vision to you. So quit holding them hostage. Quit holding them hostage and holding them responsible for not getting your vision. Your vision is inside of you. It's like your baby. It's like me wanting someone to say Jelani was a cute baby before he was born. No, we're going to wait to see. Is he really cute? Right? So what I did with Jelani is I shared the vision with Jelani, age appropriate. He was 3 years old when I started the dream. He was 6 years old when I was able to step into it full time. And so I shared the vision with them in bite-sized palatable pieces. Let me tell you what I did with Jelani. I made pictures of people, and I made a picture of a person standing in front of the people, and I put it on his wall. And I said, that's what mommy wants to do all the time. So Jelani's 6 years old. He comes with me to a speaking engagement, right? He's about 6 and a half, 7, and we're at a speaking engagement, and he sees the people sitting in the audience, and I'm talking, and he starts screaming, mommy, this is the picture. The people are here. The picture. He was excited. I could not get him to calm down. Everyone's laughing. They're like, what is he talking about? And I explained it to him. I said, I painted the picture of each one of you and me standing here. And I put it on my son's wall so that he can see. So he's just excited that you guys are here. And so I shared the vision. Number three, I created a care log for Jelani. I created a care log for Jelani that outlined everything that he was dealing with at that time, the classwork, what sport he was in. I created a care log, and I sent that care log out to at least 9 people so that my tribe knew what was important to Jelani. He was playing with Power Rangers at the time. That's his favorite toy. He loves playing Monopoly right now. He thinks he's Superman. He thinks he's Spider-Man right now. Like all the stuff. I just created this care log so every time Jelani touched someone else, they knew about his life. So I made the net tighter. Does that make sense, you guys? That's the next thing. The next thing I did was I lived in time management. Most of you are giving away too much time. Raise your hand if you're giving away too much time. I see 2 hands went up. Gwen was like, okay, some of y'all need to go, hey. I created time management. I lived in my time management. I had a time, and I'm a butterfly, you guys. I'm free spirit. I am not rigid. I'm not left brain. I'm not linear. So in order for me to get a lot done, I need time management because I will woo-woo and just create all day. And I talk to Patty for 2 hours. I'm just like, so I need structure. How many of us are like that? You need structure like me. Keep your hand up. Type your name in chat if you know you need structure. So you need to give yourself what you need. So let me tell you what I did. I calculated my time from the time I woke up. I see the names, Barbara Lee. I see the names. You have Sharon, Alexis. I see them. So but here's the magic. You structure your time from wake up to bed, but inside the day you put in everything. So I put in eating. I put in breathing. So I have 3 times in my day when I'm just breathing. I put in research and development. I put in Jelani time. So every part of I put in getting Jelani dressed. Now, the other thing is that I cushioned everything with 20 minutes extra than what I needed. So I wasn't rushed. If I think I need 20 minutes, I gave myself 40. So my day actually was smoother when I was living in my time management. Here's the key thing. The time I gave Jelani, I always gave Jelani. So I was gone a lot, but when I was at home, Jelani had 90 minutes every day. And every day, you guys, my son wanted to play Monopoly. I hate Monopoly. To this day, he thinks it's my favorite game because we played it every day. And we played every day because he wanted to play it. And so to answer your question, I allocated my day. I timestamped my day. My son never was made to feel like he was extra on the outside of my dream. But my son knew I had a dream. I didn't feel guilty because I had a dream. I didn't feel guilty because I wanted to live my dream. I'm going to live my dream and I'm going to parent my child. I'm going to do both. I'm going to have my child witness me bringing life to my dream while making sure my child knows that he's my priority. My child began to honor time. So when I had mommy me time, I would put a sign up, you guys. I would put a sign up. It wasn't this sign, but somebody probably needs to see this sign. I would put a sign up. Now just act as if this sign says mommy me time. I will put the mommy me time sign on my door with a clock next to it with the time that I was going to be done with mommy me time. And Jelani would just sit and stare at the clock without bothering me until the clock hit the time that I was out of mommy me time. Does that make sense? I trained my son early on that I needed my time. I trained him how to honor time. And so mommy me time was only about 15, 20 minutes, but I need to just breathe. You know how you go from work to cooking to this? Like, hold on, I need to breathe. And so Jelani would just look at the clock and he'd go, mommy, you got 2 more minutes. And I wouldn't respond. And in 2 minutes, I was his again. And so I navigated and did those kind of things. But it was a navigation. And then I got community. I had a lot of community. I brought Jelani on the road with me. So I wasn't afraid for my business world to see my child. Patty, didn't I let those worlds collide? I allowed them to collide. And what I would tell people is Jelani isn't imposing on my business by being here. He's lending me to my business because I'm his mother first.
Remember we ran out of gas delivering food to the kids at school?
Yes. And so Jelani always knew. And so that's how. Okay, more questions. Any questions about money, brand building?
Let's see. I'm looking here. Everyone's saying great. This is what I needed to hear. I mean, everything's really resonated. Everything that we talked about before you came on, it's just like you channeled it. One person had a question that was in my group when we did breakouts earlier was about, how do I identify and really manifest your ideal relationship?
Oh, well, I know a little something about that. So I think there's several things. And I'm just going to tell you my journey. I don't even want to talk as a teacher. I want to talk as a coach. I'm going to talk as a woman who just, number one, everyone has their season. There's a season when you're actually ready for a relationship. And because you want something doesn't mean you're ready for it yet. Anybody, did that land anywhere with anyone? Okay. And so I found that I was wanting a relationship because I was looking at so many of them. I would go to TLC with Patty and everyone there is in a relationship. Matter of fact, you can't bring anyone to TLC unless they're your significant other. So I went.
Or you break the rules.
Or you break the rules. And I never broke the rules. I follow rules, right? And so I'm always there by myself, always there, except for the couple of times I was dating someone that I thought was significant until they were insignificant. So I watch people and I would make up the story that I was ready for a relationship. But the reality is, until there's a difference between being dateable and wanting a relationship, I realized that I wasn't ready for a relationship because I didn't want to put in all the time that was required. I wanted to give that time to my business or to my son. Anybody can relate to that? Like, I wasn't willing to invest the time. I wanted the ROI. I wanted the ROI, but I didn't want to do the investment. I was like, because I would treat it as if it was, I don't have time for that. But I want this loving, expansive, agape relationship without depositing into the bank. I want to make the withdrawal. And so I think one of the biggest things that I learned was I wasn't dateable. I wasn't ready. I was great for exchange, dynamic exchange and dinner, but I wasn't ready for the commitment and what it required. And actually, it wasn't anything wrong with me. I didn't have the capacity to give to a relationship what a relationship required because I preferred to give it to my business and to my child. And when I made that clear choice and I owned the choice, I stopped being upset about being single. I was like, oh, well, of course. I don't want to be in a relationship. I want to date. I want to go out to dinner. Yeah, I want to laugh. I want to giggle. I want you to compliment me. I want to turn around and watch you watching me when I walk away. I want to do that. I just owned it for what it was. But I don't want to put in the time. I don't want to feel like I have to divide between travel. And so once I got that, and then when I got to the fact that I'm ready for a relationship, that's when I began to work on my vulnerability, work on sharing more with of myself. I started 3 years ago, four years ago, working on me to be dateable. So I do retreats, like Patty does retreats. I do retreats, breakthrough retreats. And I started, as I'm working on my community, I got my students, and everyone knows when I do the retreat, they're like, I'm working on me too, you guys. So we're gonna all do this together. And I would always raise my hand, and one, I would out myself. So if you wanna get ready for a relationship, out yourself. Say, I'm ready for a relationship and I'm getting ready for a relationship. I'm prepping myself to be relationship ready. I'm prepping myself to attract him. I'm prepping myself to attract her. And if you make a list, make the list wholeheartedly, just make the list, and then spend the next 2 years, 3 years, 6 months becoming the list. Mm. The list can't be something you're not. Become the list. You don't have to hit the mark in every level on the list, but you do have to be in motion on the list. You do have to be in motion on the list. And so make the list, but make the list fair and then step into the list, right? And this is what I do. I work with a lot of women on being dateable. I'm even in this thing now where some of my executive coaching clients, that we're using their sessions for me to write their profiles and select their pictures and help. Like, I'm just, because sometimes you need someone to hold your hand. I would take more risk in business than I would take in relationships. Anybody else like that? I would risk money all day long. I can make money. I make more money. I risk losing six figures, but I wouldn't risk relationship. And so sometimes you need someone to hold your hand. And so ask someone to hold your hand. Help me. Help me see what's in my blind spot. Help me to become more dateable. Help me to, you know, and we have this this conversation that we, this session that we're doing coming up called Manversations. And it's Manversations. It's a conversation facilitated by three men, and all of the participants in the group are all women, but the hosts are all men, and the women are coming to the men just asking to see a man from a man's perspective. And so I want to invite you that if you're looking at becoming dateable as well, to have conversations across gender lines so that you can see the perspective from another perspective, you know, and have it as a friendship. Qualify a partner for dinner before you qualify them for marriage. So often, so many of us are looking for a husband or looking for a wife, but we're not looking for a friend. My fiance and I were friends for 10 years, and I didn't realize that I was sharing my heartache with my soul, with my future soulmate. I had no idea. I'm like telling about all of my, and this guy, and he did this. And he's like, oh yeah, well, you'll be okay. and so when he tells the story, he says, I was just waiting on her to see me. She was seeing all those other guys. I was just waiting on her to see me, that I wasn't going anywhere. And so celebrating a friendship, create a friendship. You know, sometimes we can be so rushed that we build a relationship on, we think we're building it on cement, but we're building it on sinking sand. Build your relationship on cement. Have something to fall back on. Have a friendship to fall back on. Be dateable. Explore yourself. Do things outside. I was so responsible. I'm super responsible, huh, Patty? I'm like super responsible. I'm gonna do, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do, and then I wanna do more than I'm supposed to do. And so I was so responsible that I forgot to let my fun woman out. I forgot to be sensual. Well, Patty would disagree because I'm always sexy. But I forgot to be that way in the dynamic of dancing with the opposite partner. I thought it would distract me. Trust yourself. Trust your picker. Don't Don't force your past into your future. Don't worry about who you chose in the past and how that will show up in your future. Don't make your future pay for your past. Trust your picker. You made decisions then based on what you knew. You make decisions now based on who you are. When I began to trust my picker, I settled in. I stopped asking questions so much. My chatter, I can just be in the moment. And so I invite you, and as a woman, to women primarily, the men will appreciate me saying this. Guys, let me know if you appreciate this. Women, don't make a story up where there isn't one. don't make a story up where there isn't one. We project our fears and then we do all the what ifs. And here's what I know about men. Men will give it to you straight, no chaser. They won't put all the zhuzh on it. So a lot of times they'll give us what they need or give us what they want or try to give words to it. And we go off in all the other fields. What do you mean? Are you trying to say, hold on. First, just take it for what I did say. Be with me there. Be with me there. And a lot of times we're reading our own insecurities and projecting that into a relationship. And so don't make your present moment pay for a past experience. That's the one thing that I constantly keep reminding myself, that I'm older, I'm wiser, I'm better, I'm stronger. And so my decisions should reflect that.
I hear that a lot. Careful with your storytelling. Yeah. A few people will have to remind me about that one. Okay, so Lisa, one more question and then I'm going to let you go because I know it's been over time. So people are really interested on how you started to build your brand, like what you think of your brand.
Yes.
And also how did you monetize your value?
Okay. So how I built my brand, I'm a little different than a lot of people. Do you know when you go to the mall, for those of you who have malls where you have this restaurant, this fast food place, you know when you go to the mall and you're in the food court, back in the day when we were actually at malls, and you go to the food court and the I think it's the Asian food place, they would have the guy out front and he has the orange chicken with the, you know exactly, I see some of you already nodding, has the orange chicken and he has the toothpicks and people are tasting the chicken. Have you ever noticed that line is always the longest line in the entire food court? Has anyone ever noticed that? That's always because they're allowing people to sample. So they're reducing the risk of, will I like the food? I want you to hold on to that. I really am going somewhere and answering that question. So one of the ways that I grew my brand was I trusted my skill set enough to let people sample. You guys got it? Are you getting where I'm going? I trusted. I didn't wonder, well, what if they don't like me? Then they won't hire me. Well, I didn't assume they wouldn't like me. Now, I'm sure there's some people who they weren't moved by me, but I assume you're going to like the orange chicken. Like, you're going to like it. I say, here, taste some. And so I put myself out everywhere. I tell my students all the time, speak, just speak. Speak for free or speak for fee. The key word is to speak. I have a student who 3 years ago, before she met me, she had 3 speaking engagements that year. Last year, she had 36 speaking engagements because I gave her the homework to speak and we crafted everywhere she's gonna speak. Now, she's doing all kind of virtual stuff. Her speaking career is launched, it's off, it's running. And so speak, get in front of people, share your brand, share your message enough, and then be willing to say, if this feels good to you, I'd love to serve you more. I would say that for every speech. If this feels good to you, I'd love to serve you more. You figure out how and we'll talk about when. That was my little thing. You guys can have it. Say it exactly like that. And so sample, ask yourself the question, what problem are you the solution to? This is what I teach my business students. What problem are you the solution to? Simon, what happens because you're around? What pain do you relieve? What joy do you bring? Is it Bevan, Frank? Frank, Bevan, Bevan, Frank. So Bevan, what desire do you help bring forth? Without always announcing that, give me some of that. So this is what it looks like. So I was everywhere. I was speaking everywhere, and I was speaking more places free. So my brand just began to have this like bubble effect, bubble. Like, what's happening? Because I was everywhere. I said yes to everything. I made phone calls. I'm kind of radical. I would call corporations, reach out to corporations. I still have my students doing this to this day. I have my students reach out to businesses and say these words. Based on what the great work that you're up to, they do a little research and development. Based on the great work you're up to, you've been selected to get a free inspirational message to your employees and to your environment. The standard fee is normally $2,500, $5,000, $7,500, whatever your fee is. However, you're qualified to get it for free. All you need to do is choose the date within the next 6 to 8 months, and we can design the time. So you get a lot of no's, but you get a lot of yeses. So my students literally, they call on their own behalf. So when I used to call on my own behalf, so you're not you when you call, you're calling on your behalf. If you have an assistant or a virtual assistant, have them actually call for you. And I would be Lisa Dimes calling for Lisa Nichols. I would be Linda Dimes calling for Lisa Nichols because I'm so unoriginal. I made 21 calls. I talked to 10 people. I got 4 bookings. This was a long time ago. But those 4 bookings put me in front of people. So be willing to call on your behalf. How many of you, you're not calling or you're not emailing, you're just waiting and hoping that phone will ring? How many of us are waiting that the phone will ring? I have a really good friend, Patty knows him, he Barry. And one of the things that my friend says when I saw him recently, he said, something happened, your brand just exploded and mine just went level, flat. He said, I finally figured out what it was. You kept picking up the phone and I kept waiting for the phone to ring. And so I ask you, are you willing to pick up the phone? Now, picking up the phone looks like picking up the phone, but it also looks like sending an email. It also looks like, I would invite any of you who want to expand your brand, create a sizzle reel. Now with iMovie, you can create your own sizzle reel, right? You don't even need to be, if I can create a sizzle reel on iMovie from my iPad, then anybody can. A sizzle reel is just a real fast montage of the best version of you. You can create it, you can, and you can stage what you want your sizzle reel to look like. So if you want it to show you talking to people, then get some people together and start talking and capture that. Like, you can create the story. Create the story you want to tell. So I created the story that I wanted to tell. I even have a shot list. I have a shot list that I give my students. I tell them, listen, if you want some shots, if you got a photographer, make sure the photographer gets the right shot. So give the photographer this list and say, take these pictures, and then make sure you create that list. So I say, everyone, raise your hands in the air. Like, you guys all, raise your hands in the air right now. Everybody, raise your hands right now. Raise your hands in the air. I would get that shot. And I would put that shot on my sizzle reel because now it shows that I'm an active instructor. Create the story, curate the story, and then tell the story. So that's in the marketing side. The other side is, what problem do you solve? What benefit do you bring? And how often can you do it for free? And then gather the people to come. And then the last thing I'll tell you is to do what we call an ESM. Write that down, ESM. Engagement, stimulation, methodology. Engagement, stimulation, methodology. So this is one of my techniques that I created. We call it ESM. And an ESM, you see them often, but you don't quite know why they happen or what are they happening for. So an ESM, here's the definition. It's a high energy experience on social media for an extended period of time to gather new eyeballs. So it's a high energy, highly advertised event on social media for an extended period of time. Extended period of time is 3 days, 5 days, no more than 5 days, 3 days. I can hold 5 days, and you can do 5 days too in this climate because everyone's more trained to be on their computers. But it's having this experience. So what it looks like is every day at 12 o'clock for 30 minutes, you talk about techniques to become an author. I'm going to do it every day for 5 days. I'm going to show you how. So you do it, there's some kind of inspiration or information, and you do it for several days. You do it for a short period of time. So it's not 2 hours. It's not 3 hours. It's like 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And you market it, and you gather, and you market for this event, for this experience, and you gather people for it. And then while you have them there over the 3 days or over the 4 days, you invite them to something else. That something else could be for free again. I always say sample, let me sample, and then let me choose you, right? And so an ESM. So on my campus, my students always know before we finish the course, I need you to do two ESMs. And if you look at anything I've done, I just did a summit 2 weeks ago. I did a summit 3 weeks before that. I did 30 days of a diet of possibility. I was just on Facebook, and every day I came on and we talked for 15 minutes, and I did 15 minutes of a diet of possibility when the pandemic started. That was an ESM. It was a long period of time, but it was 30 days. At the end of it, the last 10 days, I invited them to something. So you want to do ESMs. And I would say don't do more than one a month, so people don't get used to you doing them all the time and they get worn out one. But you want to do an ESM. For 5 days, I'm going to show you how to make money. For 3 days, I'm going to show you how to attract your ideal partner. You see what the theme is? So it's a themed event with a benefit out of it for a period of time. So those are some ways that you grow your brand. And then to monetize, I'm real big on, number one, if you want to monetize, you need to get sold out on the results you produce, not the process you take people through. So the reason why a lot of people's conversion rates are not good, your conversion rate's low, you're not selling well, is because you're trying to sell your process. You're selling your program. And people don't want to buy your program. They want to buy results in their own lives. Does that make sense? Who needed to hear that? Because you sell programs, right? It's so natural. It's very natural for us to sell programs, but people buy results in their own lives. And what will make you not speak to the result is if you're not sure. And so it's important that you get sold out clear. You know, for the first time, you know, in life, I'm finally doing my own certification program. Everyone's been telling me for years. Patty's been telling me for years. Everyone's telling me, at least you got to train people to be certified, the Lisa Nichols certification. I'm finally launching mine. This year we're enrolling, next year we're starting. And when I sat down and looked at the result, because of all the content I bring and all the hands-on that I do, I was sold out on it. I was sold out, like, oh my God, this is going to be so good for them. And when you're sold out for what they're going to get and what they're going to do, and you're sold out before you even announce it, when you announce it, that energy is contagious. Does that make sense, you guys? And so you got to enroll people in what they're going to get and how their life is going to show up differently because they said yes to you. So that's number one. And number two, become comfortable with money. Become comfortable with your compensation. Remember this, write this down. Your fee does not equal your worth. Your fee does not equal your worth. So quit tripping about your fee. Don't think it's too low and don't think it's too high. Don't get nervous to say it and don't get upset if it's too low. Like, I give things, I have a program out there, $28, 28-day videos for $28. I already know I'm way past that. But for someone, that's the perfect price for them, right? And then I have my trainer's program that's $25,000. I'm not going to shake in my boots when I give you that price either, because I'm going to make each one worth $28. I'm going to give you your value. I'm going to go beyond that. $25,000, I'm going to give you your value. I'm going to go way beyond that. So you got to be sold out on your feet as well. You got to be super comfortable. And the way you're comfortable, here's the deal. The way you're comfortable is if you're going to charge somebody $2,000, then craft a program, truly craft a program that's worth $4,500. That's the only way you feel so comfortable about that price. So I kept, when we knew our trainer's program would be $25,000, I kept throwing things in it. No, then I want to give them a $38,000 program all day, every day, $50,000 program, because then I'm comfortable with the price. That's like my little trick I've done with myself over the years, just so I could be comfortable with the fee. Right? To go, I want to make sure that I'm giving you way beyond that, because you don't ever want to feel apprehensive about what you're offering, apprehensive about the fee, apprehensive, because people can smell uncertainty. And if you're not comfortable with what you're doing, I'm not comfortable being your customer, right? And the last thing is to always know that even though one-on-one is powerful, you wanna be committed one-to-many. So you wanna be committed one-to-many, and then you wanna scale up to one-to-one. But don't, I started one-to-one years ago, and it was hard to get out of one-to-one. Patty knows about the one-to-one. It's hard to get out of one-to-one. So I do a very small exclusive group of people right now, one-to-one, but design everything one-to-many. But don't expect everything to be automated. That's lazy. It makes me just so frustrated when people want to automate immediately, video only. That's lazy. We need human connection. People are tired of snail mail, Twitter mail, text mail, TikTok mail, email. Like, people want to say, I want to hear you. I want to see you. So even if you do have an automated program, have a point where you touch me. Don't hide behind this computer. Don't hide behind the video. I want to touch heart to heart, soul to soul, belly to belly. I want to see. I'm lonely. Assume I'm a lonely preneur, entrepreneur, solo preneur, by myself preneur. Please come climb in my cave with me. Who needed to hear that? Who was that for?
Right. I love that.
All right, I'm done.
Lisa, thank you so much for spending extra time with us. I think everyone got a ton out of this. I love your transparency. You're always amazing. I will see you again in a couple hours, right. Which I will call you about because there's a little interesting
thing. Yes, yes.
I just love you and appreciate you. Mm. Thank you so much for being my friend first and being amazing everything after that.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say in closing, just in the time that we are in, hold your spirits near, hold your heart near, guard your heart, guard your spirit, guard your mind. Treat yourself to a diet. Take a diet off news at times. Take a diet off social media. Thank you for all your love. I see all the love. And Patty, I'll come back and tell you, but I want to let you guys all know that in this climate of social justice, I own my responsibility as an African-American woman leader to help navigate through courageous cultural conversations. To create a space where it's safe for African-Americans, people of color, and our white allies to talk about how do we come together and move forward. How can it be us against social injustice, not us against each other? And so I just want to invite you guys. I did something outrageous. I made a movie. Patty, did I tell you that I made a movie? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Patty know about the movie. It's called Let's Grow. And it'll be dropping on November 22nd. And it's a courageous cultural conversation where a Black man and a white man and I are really launching into this place of healing. And I'm gonna ask for you guys to your prayers, but also I think it's gonna be what many of you have been looking for. Many of you, your hearts and your souls have been wanting. And just know that there's someone out there, there's many of us out here who are crafting an experience that makes it safe and healing for Blacks and whites and browns, men and women, to come together and to chart a course for our children and our children's children. And so I'm going to give Patty the information. It's called
Definitely. Let's
Go. Yeah, and you'll be able to register for it. And I just would love for you guys to join us for a Sunday matinee on the 22nd and pray for what it can foster into our humanity.
That's awesome. I love it. We will definitely let everybody know, Lisa, the entire list. I'll be happy to buy the popcorn.
Yes. I love you.
Thank you.
Be well.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. For those of you that see me later in office hours, if you still have questions, feel free to be there. I'll be there too. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.